Sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS, is a mystery in the medical field. It causes more than 2,000 babies to die in their sleep each year in the U.S., but we still don't know how or why SIDS happens. After 11 years of research, Dr. Daniel Rubens of Seattle Children's Hospital has identified a possible cause. He thinks inner ear damage in babies might prevent them from getting body signals during sleep that tell them to move when breathing becomes difficult. Preliminary animal trials support his theory.
We look at these animals, and what we found is that the animal with the inner ear dysfunction to that moderate degree, they don't make the movement arousal responses, meaning they don't pick their head up and move away from the original position which was creating the problem to access fresh air, take the breaths that they need, and survive.
Now Dr. Rubens is starting a new study that might provide a simple tool for early detection of SIDS.
We're looking for a way to look at the newborn hearing screen test and the possibility of using that test to identify babies at risk for SIDS. At this point, the newborn hearing screening, it's not ready to detect the babies at risk, but we're wanting to do that research to look at that comprehensively to see if we actually can do that.
The research is in its very early stages, but it is giving hope to grieving parents who are looking for closure. Aileen Carell lost her daughter to SIDS 13 years ago. Lucy Marie Carell was 3.5 months old. It was her first day at daycare. Carell told KUOW's Kim Malcolm that in the months after her daughter's death, she agonized over what she could have done differently.
You keep playing that tape over. I remember, you know, my mantra would constantly be playing that role. What if, coulda, shoulda, woulda? What if I wouldn't have taken her that day? What if we would have just kept her at home? What if I'd been more vigilant about saying she sleeps on her back only? Would she still be alive today? So I'm sure I was going a little nutty because I was thinking, what if she really wasn't dead? Maybe it was like a fake sleep or something, or maybe it's got to be wrong. This has to be wrong. This can't really be happening. I mean, a nightmare, literally, that you just cycle through and you can't deal with. And we had a little, you know, little boy at home. And honestly, if it wasn't for him, I might not be here. I was really dark. And not a lot of conversation with my husband. I mean, as equally as unconsoled as I was, so was he, but we couldn't really console each other. We both knew how bad it was. Just crying and just trying to get out of bed every day was Herculean effort. But a lot of just questioning why and trying to figure it out, and it made no sense. There was no answer to it.
And what impact did that have on your grieving process?
You know, it's funny. In retrospect, I think it was just sort of a spin. Like, there was no, I couldn't, she was a completely healthy baby for all intents and purposes. She'd had one little ear infection, and otherwise completely healthy, at 3.5 months old, really alert, paying attention, loved her older brother, could hear his voice, knew instantly, could hear, smell, you know, was just really an engaged, alert, healthy baby. So trying to say, well, she just turned off? Like trying to explain it to my, you know, my 3-year-old, who was trying to understand where is she and why isn't she coming home and what happened? Why did her heart stop beating? And we said, because she just sort of, she went to sleep and her body just turned off.
So she was gone, mm-hmm. and time went by. Mm-hmm. What kind of impact did her loss end up having on your family?
It changed everything. What you built together and the hope that you have in this out-of-order death sequence really throws you into a tailspin about, well, what did I think? What do I believe? Who am I? What is this all about? You start questioning everything. Immediately, both my husband and I were not at work, but he had a sales job. It wasn't really inspiring for him. I was working for Starbucks Coffee Company. So we made the decision, as much as I didn't want to, I went back to work. And then he ended up staying at home with our son. We said, no more daycare. We just couldn't be back there and sort of stopped trusting a daycare. No one else was going to be able to care for our children as well as us. And then we had another child afterward. He came along about 18 months later. So we'd done research on, well, what do you do? What if you ever have another baby? And we were panicky. We're like, oh, this is a beautiful thing, but we're very concerned. So we did all the research about what is a safe sleep environment. And we were vigilant about that to the T. No bed sharing. He slept on his back. in a room that was, I had a temperature control on the bed. No crib bumpers, no fuzzy stuff in the bed. We didn't need alarms. They were like all the things. We went with evidence-based information.
Were you able to sleep at night?
Not terribly well. And we'd find ourselves, even in a nap, I might sit in the room, poke at them a little bit. I'd sleep next to the crib. You know, if they're sleeping, I'd put my hand up, my fingers into the crib, constantly checking breathing, watching for the chest to move up and down. I still do it with them.
They're teenagers.
They're teenagers, or my three-year-old. I have three surviving boys.
And you're still doing it.
And if I don't think they're, you know, boy, they're sleeping a long time, I'll still go in and I check.
You're now working with other families who have also lost a child to sudden
yes.
infant death syndrome. What do you tell them to help them from your experience?
They're going to make it. You can survive this. And you can come out of this and still have hope and still have love. You will never forget your baby. A lot of people worry you're going to forget this baby. And I said, you'll never forget this baby because your baby really existed. And that there's hope. That there's hope for an answer at some point. We are going to figure this out. And one day we're gonna crack the code on this, and it'll be a great day because they don't have to continue to spin with the why, the why, the why. It takes a lot of courage to keep moving forward, and I often say that it's my personal mantra is to have courage and hope all the time because it's devastating. I wish it never happened, but it did, so I can do something good as a result of it. If we can't, I mean, we have to learn how to do good from tragedy and get good from tragedy. At least that's what I think.
Aileen Carroll lost her infant daughter to SIDS 13 years ago. She spoke with KUOW's Kim Malcolm. Carroll works now with parents through the Northwest Infant Survival and SIDS Alliance.